Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Scarfy things, Carrie's mic stand has scarfy things.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
I assume you're just gonna make this all one big wave file and send it to me, rather than a bunch of individual wave files.
Yes, but we are recording now.
Okay. So, do you want to start with singing Everything's a Song, or should we just roll into it like we're the Nerdist podcast or something?
Let's just roll into it, because last time we sang, we were in the wrong key, so it sounded like crap.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. This is Carrie.
And this is Luke.
And you're listening to Luke and Carrie's...
Bad Rapport!
Episode number...
58!
February...
13th!
2012! Yay!
It's the Valentine's Day edition, which we prepared nothing for along the lines of Valentine's Day.
I'm wearing pink.
Well, you're always wearing pink.
So?
That'd be like, oh, it's the self-promotional edition of this episode, you know, because I'm always that way. Anyway.
Whatevs.
So what's new in your life, Carrie Dalby?
I'm over 8 months pregnant now. The baby dropped, I think, which means the baby went lower in me. For first-time mommies, that tends to happen weeks in advance. And for all other mommies, it tends to happen around the same time as labor. So it could mean I'm going to go into labor pretty soon, or like in the next week and a half. But I don't know. A lot of times that's not how that works, so I could just have the baby on March 5th. So I'm pretty much just full of baby, and I had another baby shower with the choir, and it was nifty, and had lots of catered food, and Josh and I saw The Adventures of Tintin, which I thought was excellent.
I thought it was pretty epic.
Maybe I'm easy to please, I don't know, but I thought it was excellent.
That one action sequence in the middle is like on par with your average Disney theme park movie ride type of ride, where I was watching and I'm like, wait a minute, has this been all one continuous shot? And I realize that doesn't quite have as much gravitas because, you know, we're talking about a CGI animated feature and not a live action thing. But still, having to choreograph out, you know, in CG, that one continuous long shot that went through that whole action sequence was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And I saw it in not 3D, and, you know,
yeah,
after seeing it, I was like...
Yeah, we saw it in not 3D, too, because that's all that was available by the time we finally went and saw it.
So I kind of wished I had seen it in 3D after watching that one sequence, but anyway, yeah.
Didn't Kyle say it had something to do with motion capture, or is that...
That's something Zemeckis has been doing for years.
I don't know what motion capture is.
Okay, remember the scene in... the movie The Muppets, where Jack Black comes out of his trailer and he's wearing a blue suit with little ping pong balls all over it?
Vaguely.
Okay. Well, basically, motion capture is people like Gollum in Lord of the Rings. Andy Serkis puts on, like, this suit that has all of these points that are on it. And they film him acting and recording his voice. And, you know, computers are recording all those points in three-dimensional space that he's occupying, so that when they render... You know, when the computers render Gollum and stuff, they have all of his acting motions, you know, and Avatar is the same thing. You know, just that kind of high tech, we're using cameras to record the actors, you know, talking and moving and all their facial expressions, so they can then translate it into, you know, putting it in the movie environment.
Yeah, okay,
so,
gotcha.
So, yeah, so basically movies like Tintin...
That's probably why Tintin wasn't up for best animated feature.
Oh, I don't know if, because I don't think that really makes a difference, because there's still a shit ton of animation that has to be done that isn't motion capture for films like that. But films like this one and Disney's A Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey a couple of years ago, and Disney's Mars Needs Moms, which, you know, was kind of a flop. And
don't even remember hearing about that.
Polar Express. There's been a whole bunch of movies like that where they've been, you know, trying to.
I think this is the first one I've actually seen.
But I mean, even, you know,
unless you count Gollum.
Well, yeah, there's King Kong too. Andy Serkis also played King Kong in King Kong.
I didn't see King Kong.
And Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Andy Serkis played the main monkey Caesar in that.
Didn't see that.
Carrie doesn't see things. So,
we're at my house, by the way. So
I just noticed by looking at the thing. I don't know. My voice seems kind of quiet. So maybe I should get closer to the microphone.
I suppose. Does mine seem okay?
Yours seems okay. The mic is more pointed at you, I guess.
I'm hoping we can. After I just got done bitching at Bill and asking them to make their podcast louder, I'm hoping we don't have a problem having a nice loud podcast. Because if my podcasts aren't loud, then I can't hear them when I'm playing them from this room and running around doing housework. No matter how high I turn up everything, the only ones I can hear really well is like Savage Lovecast and Mishki, and even those I can only really hear Dan Savage and Mishki when they have their callers. I can't hear very well.
Oh, by the way, I finally heard that episode where Mishki played Snoopy the dog.
I heard you talking about it on that was the funny. Funkcast.
Yeah, that was funny. So anyway, yeah. Speaking of Bill and his podcasts, I noticed because now I listen to my podcasts on Sarah's iPod Touch.
Cool.
And because
you could play Bejeweled Blitz.
Because I can my Zen player on my new computer, basically the Creative Zen company no longer supports that type of Zen player, and Windows 7 is more compatible so that I can still move files on and off of it, but I can't use the Zen podcatching software doesn't work anymore. So basically, in order for
you've
me
had
to
a lot of problems with your Windows 7.
Yeah. So, you know, that's why I'm listening to all my podcasts now using Sarah's iPod Touch, which is also what I'm going to be using, you know, for my video stuff for conventions when I need to run it off of a portable device, you know, and I can't burn a DVD. But yeah, the point is, the reason why I brought it up is that I noticed that all three of Bill's podcast feeds had like a little exclamation point thing next to them implying that there's something wrong. So for the Dementia Radio podcast, which hasn't really been happening for years.
Yeah, that one makes sense.
But also Pod of Destiny and Toad Elevating
Sometimes
Moments.
That little exclamation point in iTunes just means that you have too many that are unlistened to.
Oh, well, since I just started, I don't have many downloaded, but I just like all three of Bill's came up as exclamation points earlier today, so I don't know if that means there's a problem with his server when they were pinging it and it wasn't reacting, or I don't know. So I figured I'd mention it in the hopes that Bill might hear this and then maybe he'll be aware that there's a problem.
I haven't been having any problem getting Toad Elevating Moments, and of course there haven't been any Pot of Destinies going up, so that's not a problem. Yeah.
I haven't been listening to Toad Elevating Moment, but although I am subscribed to it, basically because I'm trying to get caught up with all the other podcasts and then catch whatever the most recent episode is of.
I sort of need them to be louder for me to listen to it, but this one might.
And I've been
might be just as quiet as that.
I've been intentionally not listening to the 2012 episodes of Bad Rapport and all of the episodes of the Fumpcast that have come out since I started working on Best of Bad Rapport 2011, just because I wanted to
get that done.
I wanted to get that done, and now I'm trying to get caught up with Mishki, and then I'll listen to those episodes.
Oh,
so
wow,
you know,
I like listening to Bad Rapport shortly after it comes out.
Well, that's what
I like listening to my own voice.
Well, that's what I always do too. But when it came time to start re-listening to the podcast, I also decided that I'm now going to make my notes for the best of CDs while I listen to them after they first air.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have now that I have my little sound recording note-taking device, which was incredibly helpful with that and with the MarsCon discs. Now when I listen to the Bad Reports just after we do them, I'll just make notes as they're fresh and new on what bits I want to potentially pluck out.
Okay.
But more on that later.
So
back to Carrie's life and what Carrie's been up to.
don't really have much else to say. Just waiting for baby. So, you know.
I came over the other day and did things. Like,
yes.
Like Luke, hang up cards.
Luke helped clean.
And today we're the reason I'm here is because you the when I was here the other day I emptied all the excess stuff out of their vehicle and brought the pertinent stuff inside and threw out the trash stuff, and now today you made an appointment to go get the inside of your car professionally, like all cleaned and vacuumed and stuff, so it's all nice and neat for when baby arrives.
Yeah, because the baby's gonna see the car first before he sees the house.
And newborns are so judgmental. They're little assholes.
I know. So, I mean, you know, really, I'm only 3 weeks out from having my life change forever. And I'm, you know, I'm not saying pregnancy isn't in and of itself a life-changing experience, but I don't know. Pregnancy is just weird.
Some would say pregnancy is strange.
Yeah. I don't think my life is as different now as, you know, as I thought it would be. And it's nothing. I mean, our worlds are about to, you know, turn upside down in ways that we can't even really comprehend. But we're going to try. So what's new in your life, Lukeski?
Well, you know, also we should acknowledge that this episode is, you know, technically a week late. Or
it's
you know,
a half week late.
It's basically I kind of view it like every during the span of every other week we put out an episode, so we technically should have put this episode out
last week.
You know, like yesterday at the latest or before, but you know, whatever. It doesn't really matter too much. So yeah. Anyway, so you know, we had a Sarah had this 'cause Sarah keeps her eye on like all those, you know, coupon websites and like special deal, you know, type of things. And she noticed that a hotel, one of the fancy schmancy Chicago hotels, had some special deal, like where you could get a hotel room night for only $1.
Wow.
If you like ordered it at, you know, during a short window of time.
Uh-huh.
So she got one. So, on a Sunday sometime recently, Sarah and I had kind of a date day where we went to the, we went to this place, the hotel is called The Public, or something like that, and mm-hmm. So we got that hotel room, and then we went to a Brazilian steakhouse in Chicago. Oh, I can't remember the name of it, but, you know, it's the first time I've eaten at a Brazilian-style restaurant where, you know, the point is that they have, like, guys with meat running all over the place. It's like, you know,
I've never been to one of those.
It's like, you know, meat, hot meat on sticks. And it's like, we want, hi, I have meat. Would you like meat? Yes, give me some of that meat. And then they carve up a bit of meat. And they had beef, chicken, pork, shrimp, lamb. You know, they had everything there. So, you know.
Too bad I didn't make it to one of those during pregnancy, because now I'll probably never go.
So, and actually, there used to be one here in Lombard, but it closed down. So. That
yeah,
sucks.
Isn't it just down the road?
Yeah. So, you know, it was the first time eating there, and I ate like, you know, like that kind of level of eating, which I hadn't done in a long time since I've, you know, been on this diet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after that, we went to see the movie Red Tails, which I thought was pretty darn cool. Red Tails is the World War II, you know, fighter pilot movie with the, you know, all African-American cast, because it's about the Tuskegee Airmen. Well, not all African. There's a few white dudes in there, obviously. But yeah, George Lucas produced the film, and he basically produced, you know, stepped up the pony up the dough to produce it and get it out there because, you know, Hollywood isn't willing to give movies that have all black casts, you know, any decent amounts of money because it's like, oh, they don't
unless
make
it's fucking Tyler Perry.
Well, yeah, but even Tyler Perry movies, I'm sure, aren't that expensive to produce because he's not using, like, tons of special effects. It's just, like, movies that take place in houses with people. You know, it's like, how expensive is that?
Yeah.
So, you know, George is like, no, screw it. I'm going to give these people a shitload of money so that we can have awesome CGI World War II fighter pilot battles in the sky. So it's...
That's
it's epic.
I've never even really heard of this until just now.
And I was like, you know, so I was watching interviews like, oh, that seems cool. I might be interested in that. Then I found out the movie was co-written by Aaron Magruder of the Boondocks.
Wow.
So I'm like, oh, fuck, Aaron Magruder wrote this film? Oh, yeah, I am way definitely seeing it. So
yeah.
I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, Red Tails is cool if you can catch it. It's still in theaters now. So, yeah, so we, you know, had Brazilian food and then saw the movie. And then I think we went to TGI Fridays for dessert and then went back to the hotel. And it was a weird hotel room because, like, the bed was, like, really low to the floor. It was like almost like a futon, it seemed like.
That's okay. You and Sarah are low to the floor.
And then because she hadn't seen it yet, we used the in-room movie thingy to watch Puss in Boots. Uh-huh. So that was our date night.
I still haven't seen that.
It's fun, and it's got lots of cute kitties, so you'll enjoy it.
That's the entire reason why I want to see it.
Yeah, it'll be out on DVD shortly.
I didn't even see actually, it might be Shrek 4 yet.
Eh, Puss in Boots is better than Shrek 4. So there was that. Yeah, I talked about the iPod, which so far I'm enjoying. It's only an 8 gig iPod, so I'm just using it for my podcast at the moment, although I did load a couple of albums onto it. Secret Handshake by Flat 29 and Stupid Cowboy Thing Volume 2 Additional Squid, just because I wanted to listen to it and make sure I was happy with it, because, you know, that was something else going on. So what else? I'm doing a song with Scooter Picnic that Carrie has already heard, but we're not going to play it on this episode because it's not out yet. And I'm very happy with it. And the song was inspired by a conversation. Well, it was inspired by something I did and ties in with a conversation had on a previous episode of Bad Rapport, the one where we had the big teenage comedian conversation.
Yeah.
And that conversation ended up on Bad Rapport 11. So anyway, more talk about that, you know, when that song is up on the Funkcast and when we play it on Bad Rapport and probably the next episode. Yeah.
So this may be my last episode for The Baby's Born, or, you know, in theory there will be one more though, so.
One more baby?
One more episode. Dumbass.
So, something I was working on like a madman in the past few weeks is Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport Best of 2011 CD, which is actually, it's weird to have something finished and in my hands this far ahead of schedule, you know,
it's not out, but it's out.
I'm holding it in my hand right here.
It's available, but it's not available.
It exists, but you can't buy it yet.
Yes.
Because, you know, because 2010 sold so well and so quickly.
At MarsCon, yes. You just have to save this debut for MarsCon.
Yes. I mean,
otherwise, you're not going to get those four sales at once.
Yes. So, you know, I could have sold this at Capricorn and made more than the $25 I made there. I'll get to that in a bit. But I'm really happy with the art design of the cover and the inside cover, because ever since we Carrie got me to start making the images for each episode
square,
you know, perfectly square to go with posting them to the things, it just became really obvious how I should lay this stuff out, because only the first, you know, third or so of the episodes from 2011 were not completely perfectly square, but I was able to manipulate them in ways that made them square or, you know,
double square
for one of them, which worked out really well. So yeah, I'm really happy with the way it came out. The CD is 50 tracks. It's a full 80 minute album. And I'm pretty happy with, you know, the content of this CD. Are you, Carrie?
Yes, I look forward to listening to it with my husband and laughing my ass off.
Yes.
You should see if you can at least get Sarah to listen to that with you, because it's pretty funny.
I think she may enjoy listening to it with me, you know, because she can only take so much. Plus, she's on it for some tracks, yeah. So, you know, but I'm really happy with it. And like I said, we're releasing it at MarsCon, and shortly after that, it'll be available through my website, and there'll be an MP3 only version. This version is one CD, not two CDs like last time, because, you know, last time it was like a 15 month span of time starting in October of 2009, and there was just so much stuff that I didn't want to cut things out. But we managed to, what was it, like 3 hours of clips I gave you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we took... Know. Yeah, it was
over 3 hours.
Yeah, it was. I don't think it was 4 hours. I
no,
think three.
But it was over three.
It was just over 3 hours of stuff whittled down to 80 minutes of best of. So yay. So you can all get that at MarsCon or the website. Please, we got 50 copies of it, and we would like to sell those 50. You know, we still have at least two left. I should probably mention that. Other than the three copies I'm going to send over to England as a gift for the boys from Flat 29. There's like literally two copies left of Best of Rad Report 2010. So if
you want a hard copy of
if you're a collector and you've been intending to order a physical copy of Bad Report 2010, then you best rush over to Lukeski.com and order it. So yeah. And then there's more. Stupid Cowboy Thing Volume 2, Additional Squid, is also currently in production at Mixonic out in California, so it will be for sale, world premiering at MarsCon. I'm really happy with it. We did record at least one sketch that was not part of... It was kind of like the sketch from Grandmother called Turn by Turn, where it's Shoebox and the GPS getting directions. It's like that was done after we all left. So I had thought of a new sketch and posted it up, and the guys liked it. So I recorded some stuff and sent it to Chris, and he recorded some stuff. And so, like, we were able to, you know, have another new sketch, you know.
That's cool.
And also, I asked...
Can I have a copy?
I'd have to... You mean on MP3 or on...
MP3 is
fine. Oh, sure, yeah. I will hook you up with that.
Okay. Because I'm probably on it.
Did you hear... Well, yeah, you're on it. Did you hear Kyle on the Fumpcast?
What did he say?
We were just... Me and... Because Chris... It was me and Devo and Chris and Kyle. So me and Devo and Chris... You know, Chris would say something and they'd be like, shh, no, they don't know about that. You know, it's like, nobody... You know, oh, yeah, quiet. And then Kyle would just go, it's like, so Kyle apparently really wants to hear the album. So we may give Kyle an MP3 advanced version, and you know, hopefully he will do us a favor, like, you know, write a review of it or something that we can, you know, use in promotions or something.
Kyle's likable.
Kyle's awesome.
Except for the part where he won't write a song about cupcakes. Write a goddamn song about cupcakes.
When did you make this demand?
Kyle knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Cupcakes! Damn it!
So we're all really excited about that. Stupid Cowboy Thing, Volume 2, Additional Squid. The MarsCon t-shirt is available for sale at the Spreadshirt site, so go to MarsConAdventure.com and click on t-shirt for that, and you can, you know, see the image and everything that I whipped up this year.
I'm not on it.
I'm sorry.
I'm the Hello Kitty. That represents me.
Yes.
Tell everybody when you're wearing your shirt at MarsCon, this Hello Kitty, that's supposed to be Carrie Dalby.
Another thing that's Spaff had to cancel his appearance at MarsCon.
So people can't look at him.
Yeah, so but he's on the t-shirt because he told me this information like 2 days after the t-shirt went up for sale.
Yeah.
So I'll have to carry around a red Sharpie so that when, you know, so if I see people wearing this shirt, I can go up to them with the red Sharpie and add some color to Spaff so that it's Breakman Z.
Okay.
Because that's all I can think of to do.
I'm sure at least Breakman Z will take you up on that.
Yes. Or maybe orange would be better than
orange
red.
Orange would definitely be better.
Yeah.
Just because you're a redhead doesn't mean it's actually red.
I actually have 7 volunteers for Table 27, so I'm very happy about that.
Yay!
I've begun working on my... It's usually, over the past few years, you know, with how busy I am with MarsCon, the notion of preparing for my own concert has always been kind of an afterthought. But this time around, I made it my mission to, you know, I've been talking out my ass for a very long time about how I want to do my performances differently and, you know, start using video and, you know, blah, 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 and kind of reinvent the notion of what a Lukeski live performance will be. And I'm finally taking steps to do that. I actually edited my, a video myself. I need to add some titles to it, but the fact that I was able to, you know, within a week, make this video without too much, you know, frustration is, you know, really encouraging overall, but also a testament to how awesome it's the positive side of the new computer. It's like, this is why we got this thing, mm-hmm. so that I can handle doing stuff like this without it making me
want
be
to
like,
kill
God
people.
Damn it. It's like, you know, like even just like capturing, you know, grabbing some video, putting it on there, and then doing some quick edits, and then trying to watch it in the little preview screen up in the corner. And in my old computer, a lot of times it would get bogged down, or it wouldn't be showing the video in sync with the music, so I'd have to actually render small portions of videos and then watch the rendered thing just to make sure it was doing what I wanted it to do, because
oh,
the preview
God.
Window wasn't working fast
that
enough or correctly.
That would make me want to commit genocide.
Yes, so... So no genocide for me as I edit, you know, as I begin
possible,
working on this.
Possible episode title.
Yes.
No genocide for me. No thanks. I'll just have homicide.
It's singularly delicious. Oh, witty.
God.
Thank you for listening to Best of 2012 Bad Rapport CD.
Shut up.
Because this clip just made it.
Shut up.
Because we're witty.
Shut up.
Anyway, so then yesterday, oh yeah, that's another thing that happened. So Sarah went to work one day and said, and the people who she works for at her job said, oh, there's a HTML5 conference happening in Miami
yeah.
that we want you to go to. And she said, oh, well, when is it? And she said, when is it? And they said, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
So she suddenly found herself on a Tuesday flying out to Miami for the week. So I was suddenly at home alone for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
And then over this past weekend, she drove to see her brother because it was his birthday. So she spent this past weekend in St. Louis. So I've spent an inordinate amount of time at home alone, you know, with the
you
cats.
Have kitties. That's not alone.
Yeah. So
That reminds me of something else in my life. Got a chance to visit my friend Lauren, a.k.a. Margot, who came to the community via Bill. And, but
via
the,
blasted
Bill! But the problem with that was that I didn't know she was in town for 5 or 6 days. Because Ken mentioned having had a discussion with her on a Thursday night, but he didn't say that it was in person and that they were having dinner together. And since she lives in Pittsburgh, I assumed that, you know, that they were having an IRC discussion or something. And and then apparently he'd given her my phone number to text me to tell so that she could tell me directly that she was in town. And my phone didn't get the text for some reason.
Weird.
So she was in town for close to a week before I even found out about it. And I was just like, this is like a bad episode of Perfect Strangers. This is stupid and terrible. And then the only reason we even got a chance to hang out was because she ended up having to go to the hospital a couple times and it delayed her going home for a couple of days. She's fine, and obviously I'm not going to go into details, but, you know, that's all, that's the only reason I even got to see her.
Hmm.
So that happened. And Lauren's awesome. And she's probably not listening, but I love you, Lauren. Anything else in your life? You want to talk about Capricorn?
Well, why don't we put a song break here, and then I'll talk about Capricorn, and then we'll move on to other topics.
Okay. Song!
Oh no, no, I never go to work. 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 On Mondays, I never go to work. On Tuesdays, I stay at home. On Wednesdays, I never feel inclined. Work is the last thing on my mind. On Thursdays, it's a holiday. And Fridays, I detest. Oh, it's much too late on a Saturday, and Sunday is the day of rest. Oh yes, yes, practice guitar every day. 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 Practice Monday, practice Tuesday, practice Wednesday. Thursday and Friday, Mondays. I never go to work on Tuesdays. I stay at home on Wednesdays. I never feel inclined. Work is the last thing on my mind on Thursdays. It's a holiday. And Fridays I detest. Oh, it's much too late on a Saturday. And Sunday is the day of rest. Is the day of rest.
That was Nuclear Bubble Wrap's I Never Go to Work, because we never do.
Well,
especially me.
Yeah, you recently now never go to work.
Yes, that's why I really like that song, and people that still work probably hate me for liking it and playing it and thinking about it and singing it.
Yeah, well, you know, for people who don't go to work, you know, at least I know I'm incredibly busy all the time.
I consider my choir rehearsals on Thursdays and services on Sundays to be my job. And like I mentioned to my grandma, I feel like I'm busier now than I was when I was working, because, you know, when I was working, I guess I got less sleep, but, you know, I'm going to go sit in a cubicle and do completely meaningless busy work.
Yeah.
And now when I am, you know, when I am doing something, it's, you know, important. And my grandma was like, it makes you wonder how you ever found the time to go to work, doesn't it? And I'm like, pretty much. Anyways, Capricorn.
So yeah, here's my, my very short report on Capricorn, because, I only was scheduled to do one thing at Capricorn, which was a 45-minute concert starting at 4:45 PM in Cafe Capricorn. And as I've been stating in the previous really long segment, you know, I've been incredibly busy working on stuff, and, you know, this time of year I kind of have to lock myself in practical mode, because I you know, every day leading up towards MarsCon is a day when I could get a myriad of things done if I keep myself on task. And the only times I'm not like that are when I'm either spending quality time with Sarah or, you know, off working, drawing caricatures to make money. So, and even when during some of those things, I'm still trying to multitask and get some stuff done. So anyway, Saturday morning I woke up, and I can't remember what time I woke up at, and I'm thinking it was like, you know, around the 10 a.m. ish time of day. Again, Sarah was gone. So, you know, and I'm like, all right, well, I'll work on editing my video some more. And then it's kind of like, and then I got to a certain point, I'm like, all right, cool, well, you know, I've gotten the main part of that editing done, I'll work on, and I kind of constantly in this weird state of, I'm going to work on this thing, I'm going to work on that thing. Oh, wait, here's the thing that I should probably take care of that involves preparing a thing and then shipping it to go in the mail. And
let me guess, you know, you forgot about your concert?
Well, no, I never forgot about my concert. I was constantly checking the time to be like, okay, the concert is now 2.5 hours from now. Okay, well, I'll work on this and this. And oh, now the concert is 1 hour and 15 minutes from now. Oh, I guess I should take a shower. And then I get out of the shower and my concert was in 45 minutes. And the place takes, you know, at least 20 minutes to drive to. And then I'm like... You know, fortunately, one of the things I did earlier in the day was pack all my stuff in the car so that the car was packed. So, I grabbed everything and, you know, jumped in the car and started heading out to Wheeling. And here's the thing about Capricorn, this has nothing to do with the whole, you know, me being unprepared thing, but it seems most cons I go to every year, it's never the same exact weather every year. However, Capricorn, all the time.
Snow.
Every year. No, not snow. Cold.
Yeah.
The fucking coldest of coldity, cold.
Yeah.
Like, you know, freeze to the goddamn bone if you're outside for more than 5 seconds kind of cold. That's what it always is the weekend of Capricorn. And that hotel is designed stupidly so that you have to park, like, in this... It's like they have the hotel, then they put this, like, water-catching basin, you know... And then they put the parking lot over there.
Yeah.
And then there's like there's like the hotel itself, two restaurants built into the hotel, a big water catching basin outside, and then the parking lot.
Yeah.
So you always have to walk, you know, through this freezing, bitter, freezing deathness.
So you always associate
and then,
that hotel with being cold.
Yeah. And then
I do with the WindyCon hotel being windy.
And then when I get to, actually walk inside the door, the Cafe Capricorn room is the farthest possible room away from where that point is inside the hotel on the main floor.
Yeah.
And Sarah and I bought one of those folding carts. It's kind of like the one Tom Smith has, but it's a little more industrial, and you can actually fold it up and slide it into places. So, I had to get out this folding cart. I put my, CDs and props and stuff on this one cart. I grabbed my music stand and basically had to, walk through this cold, pulling this cart all the way in. I basically walked into the room 4 minutes before I was supposed to, go on stage and perform.
Wow.
And the act that was up before me, and I'm not sure which specific act it was. It was some conglomeration act of a bunch of people that were there. I know Eric Coleman was up on stage. So they just told them to, keep doing songs until I showed up, and I showed up just before my showtime. So, I basically set my stuff down, grabbed my MP3 player and my props, went up on stage, plugged in the MP3 player and the power or the cord to hook up to their table. And then, my show started like 3 minutes late, but, I've my new equation when it comes to doing my shows is whatever amount of time I have scheduled to perform, I plan on 80% of that for music. And so instead of me trying to cram, I have a 60-minute show, I'll do 58 minutes worth of music. It's right. Like, no, that's ignorant. So, and it'll mean I'll have to cut stuff later because I won't be able to talk. So,
right.
So I had, I had some leeway time in there, so starting 3 minutes late didn't affect me. The music to me seemed really quiet.
Yeah.
But I...
As it often is in those con situations.
Yeah, because it's like they're used to filk stuff and... I didn't want to ask them to turn the music up because A, I didn't know if that was going to affect, people in the rooms on either side of us hearing us and complaining, and also just because I showed up so late, I felt like I didn't have the right to ask them to
make adjustments for you.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of a dumb mindset to have, but I just kind of felt like I better leave well enough alone and get on with the show since I showed up so late and it, basically made it look like, I didn't give a shit enough about this con to show up earlier or something, and I feel bad about that, but, it's like, like I said before, I have so many things, that it's like if even like something like 1 hour of time, it's like, what am I going to do? Sit around and, it's like, my TiVo records TV shows and I basically don't allow myself to watch them until it gets to a point of the day where I say to myself, okay, I have done enough work for today. It's now 11 p.m. I can now sit down and watch shows. And then I watch TV.
Wow.
I
just watch things when I eat meals only, and I don't allow myself to watch things if I'm not eating a meal at the time.
Yeah, eating meals, that's another thing I'll make an exception for. If there's like a half hour episode of a show I can watch while I'm eating lunch, I'll do that. But so basically, I just view my time is, this time of year is being so freaking valuable. It's like, so anyway, I felt like a stupid for having done that. And then I even mentioned in the show that as soon as I got done here, I had to head off to draw caricatures, which was true. I had to go to Key Lime Cove and draw. So I did my show and, people seem, to like it. It's the Cafe Capricorn setting is meant to be kind of more of a, coffee house environment where people can come and go and, stuff. So it wasn't like, I had a set audience,
Audience.
Yeah. There is one guy named Ed who shows up every year at Capricorn. I don't know why he doesn't show up at WindyCon and he doesn't show up at DuckCon but Capricorn is the one con he goes to. So, and it's like, and Ed is very, he stands out, very easily in my mind because I view him as like, oh, he's my one African-American fan that I know exists for sure. one black dude is a fan of Lukeski and it's Ed, and he's at Capricorn every year. So it's like, I have to perform at Capricorn every year because, damn it, Ed deserves to see me perform every year. And I talked to him after the show, and I found out he's not on my mailing list, which surprised me. So he signed up on my emailing list, and I will add his name to the thing before I promote this episode. So maybe he's listening right now. Hi, Ed! I did my show. People, were nice and receptive. The people there in the Filk Room were nice to me. And after the show, I walk over to where my cart of merch was sitting and, quickly opened up and got out a few CDs of everything, and apparently Ed had never picked up a copy of Too Much Stuff.
Uh-huh.
So he bought Too Much Stuff and Be Amused by Me for $25, and that was like my one sale of the weekend. You know, and then after that, I went to Key Lime Cove, and I had considered coming back to Capricorn to be at the Open Filk, but as I'll get into later, there was another situation where I tell, you know, people ask me, oh, how late are you here till? Oh, I'm here till 11. And everyone takes that as, oh, I should show up here at 11.
At 11.
You know, so I literally didn't get done drawing on Saturday night until like 12:37 a.m.
Oh, wow.
So at that point, I was so tired and annoyed, and I'm like, you know what? Screw this. I'm just going to freaking go home. So my existence at Capricorn this year was probably just over an hour, maybe a little bit more.
Wow.
You know,
For me, it was none, unlike last year when I went with you guys and...
Oh, on Saturday night, apparently they showed Mission to Mars MST-11.
Yeah.
And I completely missed that, too. So I hope whoever saw it enjoyed it. So, yeah.
I like Mission to Mars.
Shout out to Ed.
I like that episode, I mean.
Thank you for showing up at Capricorn every year, Ed. So, anyway,
See that?
Yeah, I want Ed to show up at more of the stuff we do. I mean, he's in the Chicago area. We're in the Chicago area. If cool things happen, I want Ed to be there, damn it.
Well, maybe he's from out of town. Maybe that's why he doesn't show up at other things.
That's true. Anyway.
Look under those, under that Con on the Cob badge, that Victorian baby. That's my favorite baby shower card.
Oh, okay.
Victorian baby.
So, anyway, do you have any kind of a pregnancy is gross update? Or does that not matter because Carrie and Josh aren't here? Or Sarah and Josh aren't here?
Yes, Carrie is here. Well, yeah, it would be nice to get Sarah's reaction to what it felt like when the baby dropped, because I'd be standing or sitting at least at the time, but I was laying down, and it literally felt like Alex decided to slither down, like, you know, slither and squirm his way down farther into the birth canal. Like, it just literally felt like he was like, okay, I'm going down here now, you know.
And it's like, well, I'm all packed up for my camping trip. Time to head down the Oregon Trail.
So I've got this, you know, 8-pound, you know, creature living inside of me that decided, you know, it wanted to slither down closer to my genital area and pinch my bladder more, so I have to pee constantly. But I can breathe better, so that's good, because the baby's not pressing up against my lungs as bad. So I thought she'd be pretty grossed out by that, but she's not here.
Yep. Okay. So I thought of a topic that might be interesting to bring up. The whole idea of when you were a little kid, like what was your like kind of dream jobs you would want to have as an adult? Like when you were a kid, thinking like, oh, it'd be so cool to work and do this job or whatever. And I mentioned that to Carrie earlier, and she said that she had some ideas. And I have a couple of my own.
Yeah, I had a bunch of different aspirations. Did you want me to go first?
Sure, you can go first.
Well, when I was asked this question in kindergarten and they wanted us to draw a picture of what our dream job was, my dream job was to be a Dairy Queen girl working at Dairy Queen so that I could have free Dairy Queen ice cream. And this is actually mentioned in my song entitled Type 2 Diabetes. I wanted to be an inventor for like a good year, but the only invention idea that I had was I was going to make like a totally awesome and epic playset of Rainbow Land from Rainbow Bright and the Rainbow Land Castle. I wanted there to be, you know, just like a giant, like, colorful, shiny, realistic playset of Rainbow Land, and therefore I was to be an inventor. But for the majority of my childhood, I wanted to be a writer, and I Because I was, I unlike what I'm like now, which is short attention span theater girl. You know, when I was younger, I used to read all the fucking time, and I wanted to be a writer. And you know, I wrote children's books when I was little. I would write them for like littler children, like the one that is. Been mentioned on the show where we had the little picture of little green girl, little green dress girl with the black kitty. That was one of the books where there was this girl walking around a mansion and explaining the mansion. And another one of my children's books was, as I've also possibly mentioned, I wrote a book about, how babies are born and, you know, it said, when I was born, a stork dropped me from the sky and my mom caught me. And so I wrote this and illustrated it in the book, and it just made everybody laugh their ass off in my family. And I found out later it was because they thought that that's what I thought, but that isn't what I thought. It's just that I was writing for a younger audience. hi Buffy Kitty. And, later things that I wrote were, I wrote several chapters of a book that I've also described in earlier episodes of this podcast called Rich Cat, Poor Cat. And, several years later, I tried to work on something for, trying to make a novel version of Disney's Beauty and the Beast because I felt like the love story between Beauty and Beast went too quickly. And it really does. When I went to watch it at the theater, it's like, you know, okay, he's a complete fucking asshole, this Beast, and, you know, like, abusive, you know, temperamental, just guy that should be locked up, and you know, and then the whole love story happens in a 5-minute montage, and then, you know, and then there's something there that wasn't there before. And
well, the montage was meant to imply that
I know period of time passed. Yes. Blah blah blah.
And then there was also the song "Human Again," which I was disappointed wasn't included in the 3D re-release of Beauty and the Beast.
Missing some fetal action, or you were a second ago. I guess at the time I felt like, you know, there should have been more in-depth detail.
And there was a direct-to-DVD movie, a Christmas movie, called, like, Beauty and the Beast, you know, an Enchanted Christmas or something like that, that tells another story of, you know, things that happened while Belle was in the castle during the montage thing. And there was a piccolo voiced by Paul Rubens, and there was a big pipe organ that was, I think, voiced by the same dude that did Frollo in Hunchback of Notre Dame. But yeah. Interestingly enough, this week on the ABC show Once Upon a Time.
You see that?
No, I didn't.
It was subtle once you finally looked over, but nobody's interested in looking at my fetus except for me. And Josh feigns interest at times.
Well, I don't know. I just don't want to be like rude and creepy, like, I'm going to stare at your body and watch for something to move.
Well, I've got my shirt over it.
I'm playing with a yo-yo.
Yeah.
You find things when you help clean houses.
Well, where did I get that yo-yo? I'm trying to remember what the whole point of that yo-yo was. It was a recent acquisition.
It's a green yo-yo with a smiley face on it, possibly a frog.
It was a stocking stuffer for Josh this Christmas.
So yes. Anyway, so Josh.
So other things, I wanted to be a musician, a rock star, and you know, my mom, of course, poo-pooed that idea, and you know, like, you know, didn't believe that I wanted to be a musician. But then you know. I went to college for music for 5 years, and now I'm going back for more music, kind of. So, so I guess that she turned out to be wrong. What else? I wanted to be, you know, an astronaut really bad for like a week. there's a cornucopia of things I wanted to be. I have a variety of interests, and I always have. What did you want to be?
I remember being very, very, very little, I wanted to be a player on the Chicago Cubs. And I think that was mainly out of two things. One, wanting to make my dad happy. And two, I remember at that young of an age having like this concept of what normal was. And to me, like that seemed like the most normal thing, you know, like, oh, well, I'm a boy, you know,
I'm supposed to like boys baseball.
I'm not saying I was bullshitting myself, you know, because I did enjoy playing sports and going outside and trying to hit the ball and running around and stuff. So, you know, but, you know, in my kind of kindergarten to first grade age, I just remember kind of feeling like, well, yeah, that's what, you know, life is all about. That's what I should be trying to do. Even, you know, whether or not I had any actual skill at this was a whole other issue. But as I've said before, I did half a year of kindergarten and then half a year of first grade.
Yeah.
You know, because I was too damn smart.
I wanted to play football really bad when I was a sophomore in high school, but it wasn't that I wanted to, you know, be a professional football player or anything. I just wanted to be on the team and have the glory that they get.
So between about second grade to fourth grade, I was pretty down with the notion of being an archaeologist, you know, or as I called it back then, a dinosaur scientist, you know. I remember once in fourth grade, we used to do these things where there'd be like creative writing in fourth grade where kids would write creative stories, and then the teacher would read the stories without saying who wrote it, and then afterwards everyone had to guess who wrote the story.
We never did that, thank God.
Yeah. So I remember from week to week, I would intentionally write stories that would lead people to believe that some other kid in the class had written them so that it would throw them off the scent because, to be quite honest, I was a lot smarter than everyone in my class back then. And, you know, when something that was really creative and really well written compared to everybody else's would get read, everyone would immediately guess that I wrote it. So I would have to try to trick them by writing things that might seem like another person wrote it because it was talking about stuff that other people were into. Anyway, one of the weeks, I misunderstood what he wanted us to do with the assignment, and I thought what he wanted was for us to write something that described working on, like, whatever your job is, I want you to write that. So I thought that the point was that instead of guessing who wrote it, it would be the person had to guess what the job was.
Uh-huh.
So I wrote something that was like, you know, digging in dirt, finding something, you know, taking a brush, brushing things off of it, like describing what an archaeologist is doing, you know, so that the kids would then have to guess, you know, oh, it's a dinosaur scientist, it's an archaeologist, or whatever. So, but when Mr. Yost, the teacher, went to start reading these stories, I noticed that he was being like, all right, well, this one says fireman, and then he would read it. So, like, he was giving away what it was at the beginning of each thing. So I tried to, like, I know I went up to him, and at the beginning, once I realized that was what he was doing, he's like, when you read mine, don't say what the job is first, you know. So I went back to my seat, and then, you know, he went through a bunch of them, and then it comes up, he goes, oh, this one says dinosaur scientist, and then every kid in the class immediately raised their hand and started laughing, you know, and I kind of put my head down on my desk embarrassed because he totally forgot the thing I asked him to do, and he was like digging, he's like reading the thing out loud, like looking at the paper, not looking up and seeing all 29 other kids in the class with their hand raised, like, yes, we know who wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of half after reading a few lines looked up, and then he's like, oh, I guess I gave it away, didn't I? And who did it? Everyone's like, Luke. And I was like really kind of pissed and embarrassed that day.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that. So
Aww. Anyway,
a story I don't believe I've ever told anyone. So, yeah. Anyway, so
I need to try to get a better understanding of the trials and tribulations of being a boy in school because I'm going to have a boy.
Well, the sports thing is going to have to be important on some level. Unfortunately, I think, because I remember it was like I said in kindergarten, you know, kindergarten, pre-kindergarten, I was into sports. I liked playing baseball, especially, you know, and then, you know, football and other things. It's like, I remember sports being like, yes, this is a normal thing. I should be into this and I am enjoying playing and stuff. And, you know, kindergarten for half a year, everyone was the same size and age as me. Everything was great. Then I went up to first grade. Suddenly everybody is a year older than me, which is a huge gap when kids are that young. So I could suddenly no longer keep up in running, hitting, jumping, whatever it is you had to do for the sport. I couldn't do it as well as every other boy in the class,
mm-hmm.
which began my, you know, I no longer give a
your
shit about sports.
Lifelong inferiority complex.
Yeah. And I even tried to, you know, catch up, like I said, in fourth grade when I was having trouble, you know, with me being a sensitive boy and special and blah, 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 you know, because I'm so smart, you know. I asked if
You're
I could.
A unique snowflake.
Yes, and I asked if I could stay in fourth grade a second year so that I could be back with kids my own age again, and they allowed me to do it. So,
Oh, you went to fourth grade twice?
Yeah. I thought I had said that at some point. Is that, you know, Mr. Yost was like one of the best teachers I ever had in my entire life, and he was wonderful, and I got, you know, A's, and I was a wonderful student, but I was really unhappy in a lot of ways, and one of the things that made me unhappy was the fact that, you know, I wasn't as good as everyone else at all this physical stuff.
Yeah, I guess that was the reason that my mom and my teachers decided never to put me ahead of grade, because they already knew that that's how a lot of kids feel when they are put ahead of grade.
So it was in the first day of my second year of fourth grade, you know, or not first day literally, but essentially, that's when I met Jason Stahl. So
yeah,
so that was the beginning of, you know, the first best friend I ever had was him, because he knew that I was, you know, Mr. Smarty Smart Smart Pants, and he could get good grades if he partnered up with me for every time we had to partner up for an assignment.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so he was kind of a little delinquent, and my mom didn't really like him that much, but, you know, he and I just got along well. So that was the beginning of an important thing for me.
Anyway. Yes.
Back to the jobs thing. So, you know, even as a young kid going to places like Great America or Disney World, I mean, I knew that the costume characters weren't, you know, real. I knew that they were people inside costumes. And I always thought that would be the coolest job in the world to have, was to be one of the people that got to play Bugs Bunny or play Donald Duck or whatever. So, you know, I always thought that was wonderful. You know, but after last year's experience of dressing up as the Easter Bunny, I found out firsthand that even in a basic costume, how exhausting that job can actually be.
Yeah.
You
never want to do it again.
It's not that I never want to do it again. It's just that if I were to do it,
at the time you didn't.
Well, you know, I spent all that time dressed up as Bender at conventions. It's like, I think it's like, if I'm dressed as a character that
Bender's
really can
easier to breathe in, probably.
Yeah. If it's not attacked
by kids.
Yeah. If it's a character that I really like and can get behind and get into, like even the people who aren't in full body costumes, like the people who are dressed as Tiana and Naveen that I saw last time I was at Disney World Magic Kingdom, you know, it was like so cool to see them, like the dude play Naveen, actually get into the character a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it would be fun to do that, you know, do that as well. I don't know which character I would play. If I wasn't so fat and so short, I think I'd make a good human version of Beast from Beauty and the Beast. But, you know, he spent so little time in the film that...
Why don't you just be the Beast version of the Beast?
Because I always thought when that movie came out that the human version of the Beast, like, from his, you know, hairstyle, eye color, I don't know, I kind of thought that he sort of resembled me slightly. Because back then I had longer hair, remember? I had that kind of mullety thing happening, so...
I never thought that.
Yeah. There are other cartoon characters that, you know... Anyway. So that was one. Another was...
If you were, you know... You're the right height, but if you were, you know, a lot skinnier, you'd be good at Aladdin. But he's pretty short.
Mm. Anyway, to move on to another potential job. Do you remember, little kid, Christmas time? I don't know if they did this in your family, but when it was time for you to make your list, your Christmas list, there used to be the big, thick catalogs from places like Sears
yes.
and JCPenney's.
Yes.
So you'd have to flip through them and find the ads that
yes.
Were of the things so that you could make your list.
Yep.
So, okay. So back in the days of He-Man, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Thundercats, you know, they'd have these ads where it wouldn't just be photos of the figures. It was somebody's job somewhere to create a diorama, you know, so that it looked like, you know, kind of a hill and a mountain and like, oh, there's Castle Grayskull. And then, oh, He-Man's standing here. Battle Cat's right here. There's Teela. And then, oh, here's Man-at-Arms. And then there's Skeletor. And then Beastman. But they had to space them out in such a way so that later on the layout people could put like little numbers next to everything so that the text next to the picture would be like, you know, like A, He-Man, B, Teela, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I always thought that would have been like the coolest job in the world to have, is to be the person who has to build and design the dioramas of all the cool action figures for the shots done in the, you know, yearly Sears and JCPenney's catalogs, etc. You know, so
that's a very specific career aspiration.
I guess you could extend that also to the people who got to shoot the commercials because,
yeah.
you know, some commercials, you know, were just kids playing with the toys running around like, yeah, I'm holding up Devastator or whatever. But some commercials, they actually got a bit more,
right.
you know, slick with it where it would be like, you know, fog machines and like cameras like pulling into Castle Grayskull and then the thing opens and some hand comes out holding He-Man. I'm He-Man, or you know, whatever. Or even with some of the ones with the kids when they'd be outside, it's like, there's Cobra, you know, and then like they'd pull up the little tank and then, you know, here are the things. They would hit the button and the ejector thing would pop out with the
yeah.
you know, oh, G.I. Joe. It's like just the fact that people had to, it was somebody's job to create all that stuff, and I'm like, that would be such a cool job to have.
Yeah.
I would love to do that. You know, hence, look at the video for my figures. You know, it
yeah.
was a very, stripped down, quick and dirty, not dirty, but quick and fast version of that whole idea of like, all right, I'm going to set up a dozen dioramas over 7 hours
yeah.
and film them with puppets of Jared and John. So, oh, by the way, yes, this is our designated mentioning of Jared Ringgold during this podcast.
We have a designated mentioning?
Yes, well, Jared, they brought my name up quite a lot in the most recent episode of The Scope, and Jared took a moment out to say that he felt it was important to mention me because it seems that he gets mentioned at least once an episode on Bad Rapport.
No,
so.
Bill gets mentioned once an episode. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, but the difference between Bill and Jared is that Jared's podcasts actually come out and we can hear them.
Hey, Bill's Toad Elevating Moment comes out quite regularly.
I suppose.
And it's just as entertaining as Pot of Destiny, but in a completely different way. And it's easier to listen to if you're, you know, not in the know. You can just... As long as you're geeky and you like comedy music, you can tune into Toad Elevating Moment.
Yes.
Okay, Luke's going to finish talking, and then I'm going to go get a car.
Okay. What was I going to say? Okay. Another really specific job. Okay. I don't watch a lot of sitcoms these days.
There's not a lot to watch.
But it seems like, okay, thinking about most of the sitcoms I watch that are regular old sitcoms.
Did you watch Cheers?
There's a specific. Okay, well, off the top of my head, I'm just running through my head right now. The Office, Big Bang Theory, Parks and Recreation, Community. Their opening title sequences are either, you know, creative. Okay, I'm kind of doing one thing in front of another thing when I should be doing it the other way around. Back in the 80s, sitcom opening title sequences where you hear the theme song were always accompanied by edited clips from episodes of the show that
yeah.
went along with that, you know, that song. Like, they would somehow kind of figure out, you know, like, oh, well, during this lyric, we should show this thing,
yeah,
you know, and then during this lyric, let's show this thing, and, you know, to have it kind of have a weird synchronicity, even if it wasn't literal, it just kind of seemed to go well with the music or with whatever words was being said. So you think, you know...
Or with whichever actor's name is up on the screen.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, you know, it's just Silver Spoons, Family Ties, you know, all, you know, Perfect Strangers. Although, you know, a few of those might have filmed at least a few miscellaneous shots that weren't from an episode just to kind of,
like,
you know.
Like the Full House's picnic on the lawn.
Yeah, exactly. Or like Larry and Balky trying to make their way down a Chicago street and it's so windy that they can barely stand. You know, but just that whole idea of that, and like I was, the point I was trying to make is that they just don't do that anymore with sitcoms. Like, even The Office, their opening title sequence, is showing people from The Office, but the clips are like clips they filmed randomly, you know, that weren't part of actual episodes, you mm-hmm. know? So, I always thought
Buffy,
as a kid...
Buffy the Vampire Slayer had
yeah.
clips from actual episodes.
Yeah. So so the whole, when I was a kid, I always thought it's so cool that it's somebody's job, you know, it's one person's job to come up with a theme song, and it's another person's job to take that theme song, take, you know, clips from sitcoms. Like, look at Family Guy. How many times has Family Guy done a bit on their show where they essentially mimic shot for shot an opening title sequence from an old 80s sitcom because... You get it so entrained in your head, like, oh yeah, Silver Spoons, that's the part where the dad comes riding in on the train, and then the two of them turn and point at each other, you know, and then, oh, there's a shot of Erin Gray saying something and shaking her head back and forth, you know, it's like, this
yeah,
stuff is stuck in our...
Unlike Buffy, they kept it the same for years and years and years and years and years and years and never changed it.
Yeah, so it's just kind of, you know, me thinking about that, you know,
Buffy heard me talking about her. Hi, Buffy.
Yes. Buff, buff. So that was another kind of weird dream job I thought as a kid. Like, it would be so cool to do that. And now...
Because there's this one guy who's, you know, editing together all these clips for all of the different sitcoms.
Well, I figured there was at least one guy at each TV, you know, CBS,
yeah,
ABC, and NBC.
But then you have to do all the other editing, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. Or like, oh, Facts of Life, here comes Tootie on her roller skates, which is, you know, the main character trait that everyone remembers about Tootie, or
yeah.
at least that I remember about Tootie, is that she was the one that sometimes wore roller skates.
I think television editing is not really very glamorous or fun, most likely.
Well, yeah, but it's like, you know, it's like being the person who it's like, I decided that this thing, well, this is the thing that's going to air at the beginning of, you know, like Different Strokes, you know. This
yeah.
is going to be in syndication for, you know, dozens of years, and what series of clips I choose to show with this song right now is what everyone's going to see for the rest of time.
Yeah.
You know.
This has nothing to do with that, I guess, but Buffy the Vampire Slayer, do you remember the character of the mayor?
Yes.
I found out that's Josh's favorite bad guy from the Buffyverse, and now that I'm doing my Buffy the Vampire Slayer rewatch, I can see why. So I was like, he's all about milk, cookies, golf, and murder, and mayhem.
Well, let's see. I want to right now play a song from a TV show. It is from the new show called Smash. Have you watched Smash?
Never even heard of it.
It is a show about Broadway, so you might like it a lot.
Huh.
I think only one episode has aired, the pilot episode, which I believe you can watch for free on your computer. It's probably also a free thing you can stream on Hulu or Netflix or Roku or whatever. So I think you'd really enjoy the first episode. And in the plot of that episode, some Broadway writer, producer, songwriter people get the idea in their head that there should be a new musical about the life of Marilyn Monroe, so they start working on it. So this is one of the songs that they've written for the Marilyn Monroe musical, which had to do with the fact that she was married to Joe DiMaggio, so she was in and around baseball culture. And there's a musician named Mark Shaman who worked with... Basically, if it has to do with comedy and music, you know, in a grander Hollywood sense, Mark Shaman has been involved with so much stuff over the years. Like, he did the music for, like, so many HBO comedian specials and stuff like that. He was the co-music maker of South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, so he helped Matt and Trey do all the music for that movie. He did the music for their Christmas CD for South Park. And he's just done tons and tons of awesome stuff over the years. So anyway, he's involved with this. It's not necessarily a comedy song, but it's like a song you would see in this Maryland musical, and it's meant to be pretty funny, and it's full of puns and double entendres that have to do with baseball.
In other words, it's a comedy song?
From a musical from a TV show that's currently airing
okay.
and stuff, and people will like it. I think you will like it too, because it's sung by a woman.
Okay. So here it is.
Smash.
Just got a date
with baseball's Chilton Joe.
The lucky so-and-so.
So run me round the bases, put me through my paces, and teach me all the things a slugger's lover should know. What's that there?
That's the pitcher's mound.
Have you ever seen a shape that is so perfectly round?
Batter up,
play ball.
You better give it your all, cause all men like to play.
National best team. Who's that man?
That's the first base coach.
Have you noticed that he signals every time I approach?
Kill me up.
Throw him out.
Because there isn't a doubt that all men like to play at
the national best team. When I was just a little girl, I liked being dainty and pretty. But now that I'm giving sports a whirl, I find I kinda like to get dirty.
Yeah! Hey, what's that thing?
That's the team bullpen, and I like the odds I'm seeing. No girls, all men.
If the deck look alive, beware the ladies I try.
Use my skill and my passion will elevate the national. A girl's best friend.
Yes, her style and her fashion will elevate the national pastime.
And now it's time for
by Devo Spice, visit DevoSpice.com, reported by the internet from all over the world, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent, cause it makes it so to me that you incriminate.
It's been said that 1,000 monkeys at 1,000 typewriters for an infinite amount of time will type the complete works of William Shakespeare. Using that kind of logic, a man in Anchorage, Alaska came up with a great extortion scheme to use against local governmental authorities. Stanislaus Griskowiak, age 36, called state troopers and threatened to teach, quote, crackheads, how to make, quote, electromagnetic distortion devices, unless the state paid him $85,000. Stanislaus was charged with felony extortion and threatening harm. He is now in jail on $2,500 bail. Sergeant Jess Carson says Stanislaus said he knew how to use discarded televisions to make devices that could block police radios, computer communication, and cell phones. He also threatened to cut the communications of oil companies and credit card companies if he didn't get the money. Authorities say Stanislaus blames the state and companies for his financial situation, lack of education, and marital problems. The fact that Anchorage is overrun with tech-savvy crackheads doesn't seem to alarm anyone.
This story submitted by Andre Tessier. The Winnipeg Free Press reports that authorities found a 30-year-old woman who, after being shot in the eye, refused to accept any medical treatment until after she finished her beer. It was like she was oblivious to what had happened, one source told the Free Press. She didn't want any treatment until after she finished her beer. Though the woman survived the incident, the woman's friend, 46-year-old Michael Warren Sinclair, was shot dead. Another thing that also seemingly didn't affect the woman in any way to deprioritize the task of her finishing her beer. According to a neighbor who spoke with the Winnipeg Sun, the home in which the shooting took place was a hotbed for illegal activity. "There's always troubles down there," the resident, who did not want to be identified, told the paper. "Cars are coming and going like goddamn flies down there. It's been like that for years." Hence the city's new motto, Winnipeg, Stop By for a Shot, replacing their previous motto, Winnipeg, Gateway to Anchorage for tech-savvy crackheads.
These next two stories were submitted by Tom Tip Elliott. Illinois police said a burglary suspect discovered sleeping on a stranger's couch said he blacked out after drinking marshmallow vodka. Riverside police said they chased Howard Brundage, 19, through several backyards after he broke into an apartment around 2 a.m. on Christmas morning and stole a bicycle, the Chicago Tribune reported. However, Brundage was able to evade officers until they received a call around 8 a.m. from a woman who reported a man she did not know was sleeping on her couch. Officers said Brundage told them the last thing he remembered was drinking marshmallow-flavored vodka from the previous evening. He was charged with felony residential burglary, criminal trespass to a residence, and criminal damage to property. Brundage, however, does remember pink hearts, blue diamonds, orange suns, yellow stars, green clovers, purple horseshoes, and red balloons, but does not know how to create electromagnetic distortion devices with tech-savvy crackheads from Anchorage.
And finally, a West Virginia college student is suing a fraternity for negligence, claiming he fell off a deck because a bottle rocket went off in another student's anus. Lewis Helmberg III of Marshall University is suing the Alpha Tau Omega fraternity and fraternity member Travis Hughes, claiming he suffered injuries at a party in 2011 after the allegedly drunken Hughes attempted to fire a bottle rocket from his bunghole, Courthouse News Service reported. Instead of launching, the bottle rocket blew up in the defendant's butt, and this startled the plaintiff and caused him to jump back and fall off the deck, the lawsuit contends. In the suit, filed in Cabell County Court, Helmberg claims he suffered pain and medical expenses and lost playing time on Marshall's baseball team, and that the fraternity was negligent in supervising its guests and members. The report offered no information on Hughes' medical condition after the incident other than this.
Rectum nearly killed him!
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
No tech-savvy crackheads from Anchorage were harmed in the making of this report.
This has been News of the Stupid. Paper noise.
Yes. So, now it's time for a brand new segment I'm inventing called You Do the Research. In which I talk about something that I could easily look up online and find out, but instead, you do the research, and then you can comment back or leave a voice message or whatever, and then tell us about it. So, the thing that came to my mind in the past week was the phrase, Elvis has left the building. The first time I remember hearing the phrase, Elvis has left the building, was late night with David Letterman. He was interviewing some sportscaster who was going to be announcing the World Series, and the sportscaster didn't have his own catchphrase to say when, you know, a home run happens, like, you know, so many other sportscasters have, you know, like Harry Carey, it could be, it might be, it is, holy cow! Like, there's certain catchphrases. So, basically...
I just did the research.
Oh, damn it. Well, then let me finish talking and then you can tell me.
Okay.
So now this,
look at the computer
this
screen.
Segment is called Carey Does the Research. So Dave was talking to this guy and coming up with a bunch of wacky phrases this guy could potentially say during the World Series if a home run happens. And one of the phrases he said was the phrase, Elvis has left the building. And so I always assumed that that was a phrase that David Letterman invented. But then I saw it all over in pop culture, you know, after that. So I didn't know if that meant that that was a phrase that used to be used back in the old days of the Ed Sullivan Show to calm down the audience, to let him know that, okay, he's not here anymore, stop freaking out, Elvis has left the building, you know, and that later got co-opted by Letterman. So, okay, Carrie, tell me if what the deal is on the origin of the phrase Elvis has left the building.
Thanks to a Wikipedia article called Elvis Has Left the Building, It was first used by promoter Horace Lee Logan on December 15th, 1956, to plead with concert goers not to leave a concert hall to try to see Elvis as he left, and instead remain to see the other acts on the bill. The full quotation was, "Please, young people, Elvis has left the building. He has gotten in his car and driven away. Please take your seats." Throughout the 1970s, the phrase was captured on record several times, spoken by Al Dvorin. In later years, the phrase would be spoken by some of Presley's backup singers to calm down the audience after concerts. The phrase has since become a popular culture catchphrase and punchline used to refer to anyone who has exited in some sense, etc. No, it does not mention David Letterman.
Baseball announcers on radio or television sometimes use the phrase as a humorous way to describe a home run, which was typically hit over the backfield fence. Wow, that's surprising, because the whole thing about baseball announcers using that started on Late Night with David Letterman, and the fact that this Wikipedia entry doesn't mention that surprises me. So yeah, and Frank Zappa apparently used it. So, okay.
What other things?
Thus ends the new segment, Carrie Does the Research. So let's do a quick review of the album Secret Handshake by Flat 29. It's awesome! Okay, that's our review of the new album. Okay, so how do you want to go about this, Carrie, this discussion?
Quickly.
Okay.
Josh needs a nap.
And by the way, if you look at it on an iPod, you can see each song has its own nifty artwork.
Oh, for realsies?
Yeah, for realsies.
I never noticed that because I was listening to it on iTunes before and then in the car, so I couldn't see.
Oh. Well, you have to like go through it song by song.
I did it wrong. I don't know how these fancy schmancy iPod touches work.
Anyway, so yeah, basically, with the exception of two short interludes and the song Bye Bye Ladies, which we played on the last episode of Bad Rapport, all the other songs on the album are songs from their podcast, Big Book of Everything, which have been, you know, deluxe reduxed for everyone.
Yeah, they're all, like, super extra smooth and slick and professional sounding.
So some
like, as if they weren't professional sounding enough already.
Yeah. Like, and just going through the list of some of these
songs,
they
really make most of the rest of us dementia artists look bad.
Songs on this album whose original incarnations were played on Bad Rapport in previous episodes include You're an Old Lady Who Used to Be Hot, Factually Accurate Love Song, did we play Dutiful Ladies? Rap Guide to the Orchestra we definitely played, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those.
I'm trying to figure out what we're going to play.
But just here, I'll just go through the track listing and we can make commentary as we think of things to say. So yeah, You're an Old Lady Who Used to Be Hot now has
a
new melody to not be sample-tastic.
Yeah, when I found out why, then it made more sense.
Yeah.
You know, but I do prefer the original.
I prefer the original melody, but what they did with it in this new version is really awesome too. And yeah, as a reminder, that was what, number 6 on Dr. Domino's Funny 25 of 2011, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Factually Accurate Love Song, you know, another one of my favorites from Big Book of Everything. I love their use of simile and similarly, and then later in the song, library and liberally. The way they did that was really clever. I love that.
Josh laughed at that song the other day because he hadn't heard it.
Yeah. The Puberty, which is really... It's awesome. It's... They've done it up so freaking well. And on the commentary track that you get when you get the album, they say that the vision in their heads for a music video for this song would be like the three of them kind of walking down a street, just kind of like marching and doing the lyrics. And then like as they're walking, like more and more people come behind them. And then all of a sudden there's a band. So like it's just like a big parade of people.
I thought you were going to say as they're walking, they start going through puberty and hair starts growing out of their armpits. And
that would be like a super high concept version if they could like find three little kids to be like the young versions of them. And then as the song goes, like suddenly they morph into the older versions.
That would be awesome.
Something. But yeah, so... I should mention Dr. Demento, upon receiving the download version, picked three songs to open the show with. So Dr. Demento must love this album.
Yeah.
For him to start the show not with just one song, but three songs in a row.
Well, it's kind of funny because, I mean, Flat 29, we're taking a group that's not, you know, any more famous even in their country than you are here.
Yeah.
And but they're putting out an album that's like better than Flight of the Conchords, you know.
Yeah.
And and so slick sounding, and
it's amazing.
Yeah, they should be famous now. You're famous now, Flat 29.
I'm emailing Dan. I kind of said that I'm the self-appointed, you know, promoter to the states of Flat 29 because I'm out here doing all the stuff, making sure that they're getting as much attention as I have the ability to muster for them.
Yeah.
You know. So, but yeah.
That works better in the Midwest because that's.
But yeah, Dr. Demento. Yeah, Dr. Demento opened the show with Best Job Ever, Puberty, and Rap Guide to the Orchestra. He had already played Men Friends, which made the top 10 in January, which he also raved about when he first got that off of the Fump. So,
I believe he played Rap Guide to the Orchestra once.
Yeah, he had played that, you know, the first version in the past. So, yeah. Xbox Live Romance, another song that I loved. I think we might have played that on the show. I don't remember specifically. We may have.
Don't know.
Internet Interlude is cute. Men Friends. I never really liked Men Friends, the first version. It just didn't really strike me as a song.
I like it.
But the new version I really like a lot. It's grown on me. Especially
I like
all
both versions.
Spying on a Woman from Waitrose. Which I love.
It's like got Rich's, you know, yeah, signature sense of humor written all over it.
Yeah, it's like, it once again, let's talk about, you know, earlier jobs I would love to have. I would just like to become a music video director to the comedy music world because in my own head, I think of really awesome.
That's a well-paying job.
Yeah, I think of really awesome music videos. I mean, I wish I could get a TV show at Comedy Central where the whole point of the show is just every episode is like five or six music videos by all these bands I know.
It's funny because like on YouTube, you know? It's like there's this huge funny music video thing that, like, the dementia community isn't really a part of because the dementia community focuses on the music. And, if you know, if we can make a video, great. And, like, the YouTube community focuses on the video. And if the song can be funny as well, great, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Well, plus, you know, the majority of all those type of films are all done by people in L.A. who work for Hollywood studios and have access to equipment and everything and people for cheap, you know. And out here, it's like we all have freaking day jobs for the most part, and we're scraping together, you know, two nickels to like rub together and, you know, make videos. I mean, look at Ian busting his ass making Grand Theft Audio. He's been working on that for like 2 years now, at least, you know, trying to make an awesome collection of videos for people, you know. And even with a small budget, even look at the, like, his video for the song The Bomb is awesome, you know. So, I mean, like, you know, but, like, anyway, back to Flat 29, you know, listening to,
You still need to get Stealing Like a Hobbit on YouTube. So bad.
Well, now that the Hobbit is coming out. The Hobbit is, you know, the movie The Hobbit is coming out in December. So my plan is to intentionally wait until it starts getting advertised. I mean, I know that they've had teaser trailers out, but once it starts getting regularly advertised on TV, which will probably start happening during the summer, that the movie The Hobbit is coming, that's when I'm going to put it up on YouTube.
And we got to get Grease Wars up there, even though it's not really complete, because Grease Wars is timeless, I mean, really.
Yeah, now that I know that I can do more than 15 minutes, it certainly is something I should do. But anyway, Spying on a Woman from Waitrose. But yeah, that's the reason I brought that up is, you know, after hearing Rich describe what his vision for the song was on the commentary track, it's like I started picturing in my mind, like, how would that work as a music video? And it would be really cute and funny and awesome. So, Teach Your Baby Bass Guitar, which is, you know,
that's
a great
their
song.
Most like Flight of the Conchords-esque song.
It's also the longest track on the album. It's 4:44.
But it's awesome.
Dutiful Ladies, which features Chris Mazzalesta, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Best Job Ever, which was meant to be
I left off in the car.
Yeah. Best Job Ever was meant to be kind of an answer to Rebecca Black's Friday song.
Oh.
So, but Best Job Ever is like so far better than Rebecca Black's Friday that
every song from here on out, I can't claim to have intensely listened to the new versions.
I love the new version of King of the Internet with Rich Green being much more like a cheeky motherfucker, you know, and that kind of stuff. DIY Love and Put Up a Shelf is all right.
I like the original. I didn't really listen to what the differences were, but okay. I really like that one.
And then Orange Juice Interlude, Midnight Monsters, The new version of Midnight Monsters is way superior to the original version.
I need to, like, listen to it where I'm paying attention at some time.
You know, Going for a Jog, of course, is great. Rap Guide to the Orchestra, I totally love. And then, of course, Bye Bye Ladies, which was so awesome. That they It's not only that they did it, but how they did it is just amazing. Because they basically sat down and recorded themselves improvising, singing to the correct tempo and pitch to go with the music. And then they edited together, you know... Or I'm assuming it was Dan edited together, you know, the stuff that they liked the best, and then figured out other background vocals to throw behind it, and then mixed it in with their improvised stuff from the podcast, and it's just freaking great. So it's kind of meta, but, you know, overall, it's really a really cool thing for them to have created so that there was at least one full new track on the album. So, and then speaking of bonus things, you get a full-length, it's basically an MP3 that's the full-length album as one big long MP3, but they're doing commentary over the album, so they talk about the creation of each of the tracks.
Yeah.
So you get that with the album. You get a chapter of Big Book of Everything on the topic of albums that you can't get anywhere else. So you get that. And they have video content, which I actually haven't sat down to watch yet, but the beginning of the video content...
I forgot that was even there.
The beginning of the video content is the puppet video for Flat 29 is the Flat for Me.
Yeah.
By myself and
I guess
Carrie.
I shouldn't forget that's there because that's the reason why I got a free copy.
So yeah.
I think they should give Jared and Ken a free copy for that.
Well, yeah. But anyway, the point is that it's a super awesome album. It's one of the best comedy music albums I've heard in a long time. I highly recommend everyone going to flat29.com and going to their Bandcamp page and picking it up. It's like $7.99 in British money, which is like $12.50 in America money.
But so, I am sad that Sneakin' Snacks Into the Cinema didn't make the cut.
Yeah, you know, it's
to me it was the best song of 2011.
I won't disagree with you. There are many other songs from 2011 I liked a lot, particularly ones that I made, but, you know.
That's the one.
A vast virus database has been updated.
Thank you.
For those of you wondering, a vast virus database has been updated. Hey, Josh, a vast virus database has been updated.
Oh, thank God.
I know you were wondering, so I just wanted to make sure you knew.
A vast G mateys.
So, all right, so let's throw in song break. And, one more thing.
Flat 29 song.
Yes, but one more thing is they are going to have a physical CD version of the album. So that's the only reason I can think of why you should wait to buy this album is if you prefer to buy a physical CD. That's the only reason you should wait.
Or if you prefer iTunes because it's not there yet either, but it will be soon.
But yeah, so flat29.com and go to their Bandcamp page. So,
here's a select song from Secret Handshake.
Yes.
Well, there's a revolution going on in rec rooms, offices, and classrooms around the world.
The World Wide Web.
Night and day through a computer network called Internet.
Now you can really expand your horizons.
MC Rich Green
has this report on the growing phenomenon of Internet.
I've got contacts with my ISP, so I can get fast broadband for free. I got download speeds of 30 megabytes. I got upload speeds of violate your rights. I got Wi-Fi, I got 3G. Seems like every motherfucker wanna be me. You want cable? You know I'm able. Cause I'm the king of the net with a connection so stable. Got me googling my name, seeing all Rich Greens with a claim to fame. An architect, a lawyer, and a deep sea diver. A porn star, a poet, and a rat like a spider. Checking my I got loads of spam. I sent my bank details to an illiterate man. Plenty of offers to enlarge my member. I'll be hung like a donkey come September.
I got the internet. Everybody look, I got the internet.
Online on the PS3 when some cheeky motherfucker disconnects on me. I was 2-0 up with minutes to go. Another 6-year-old kid interrupting my flow. I'm gonna find that kid's IP address and then I'll show that kid that I'm the best. We'll play a game of FIFA in the flesh, and when I finish with him, his face will be a mess. I'll victimize him using social networking sites. I'll make him feel so scared he can't sleep at night. And when he's outside having fun, I'll be inside having fun with his mom. So think twice before you disconnect on me, because I start to behave irrationally above anything else. Make sure you don't forget that I am the king of the internet.
I've got the internet, I've got the internet. Everybody look, I've got the internet, I've got the internet, I've got the internet.
Upload to the web.
What's Luke plugging now? Yeah!
What's at the Fump? What's at that Fump?
Smeg.
Right now at the Fump, you can download Motherload by Steve Goody featuring Jenny Casey, Pamphlet by Positude, QR Head by Power Salad, Demolition Mannequin by TV's Kyle, When the World Ends by Insane Ian, Welcome to the Con by Ookla the Mock featuring Lukeski, Devo Spice, and Shoebox, Look Directly at the Floating Polystyrene Head by Kobe LaCroix, and You Rich Motherfuckers by Steve Goody.
So, other things to plug, the MarsCon 2012 Dementia Track and Fundraiser. The Dementia Track is happening at MarsCon the 9th through the 11th. Go to MarsConDementia.com for more information, as well as to MarsCon.com for information on the rest of the convention. The fundraiser has achieved its goal for the year, which is very good. But if you still want to go purchase the Dementia Track fundraiser album on CD or MP3 for either $30 or $20, feel free to do so.
Can I hit you for a burp that just smells really bad, even if it was inaudible?
If it makes you feel better.
God, stinks.
Coke Zero burp.
No, that was more than Coke Zero.
I guess it mixed in with White Castle I had earlier today. Because it was the most conveniently fast place to get food.
Gross.
So anyway, yeah, the MarsCon 2012 Dementia Track fundraiser album, a CD with MP3 download for $30 or just MP3 download for $20, 4 hours of live music from last year's convention, plus all the previous years that are still available on CD and MP3. The money raised is going towards MarsCon Dementia Track artists and things relating to the track. So even though we've hit our goal, you know, more money is good. So go order it if you haven't ordered it yet. Please. Thank you. What else? Lukeski.com store. I just got in a restock, the final restock of Lukeski albums before I have to figure out what to do next when I run out of them. You can go order Be Amused By Me. And like I said earlier, if you want to get one of the two remaining copies of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport Best of 2010 2-CD set, go order that now at Lukeski.com store. The Dr. Demento Show, it's awesome. Listen to it. It is great. It's drdemento.com, drdemento.com. You can also go to his request page and request songs like Pregnancy is Strange by Carrie Dalby.
Yeah.
So there.
He played it twice, so he likes it, but the listeners didn't request it enough. Well, actually, last time he played it, Wildcard was the one who requested it. He said his real name on this show.
Cool. So, yeah, artbylukeski.com. I do art for monies. That reminds me, I have a caricature I got to finish and mail off. So, yeah, you can go check out my art website there. At some point in the near future, I will update it so it actually has art I've done in the past 2 years. all right, what shade of pink are you wearing today, Carrie?
I'm wearing a light blue pink t-shirt that isn't pink, and describe it.
There is a man swinging a baseball bat.
Triumphantly,
and the caption says, "Touchdown!"
Yay, because I am ignorant of sports.
Yes. Speaking of ignorance, it's time for some ignorant stories. people all, you know, all the time come up and they ask how long it takes to do the drawings because they assume it takes a very long time. And then I'm like, oh, it takes 3 minutes for black and white and 6 minutes for this or whatever. And they're like, oh, and they're, you know, impressed with how quickly they can be done.
Uh-huh.
Guy walks up to me this weekend, looks at the demo sign of the black and white drawings and the color drawings, and looks at me, goes, what do these take? Less than a minute?
Less than a minute.
He assumed these characters took less than a minute. And I'm like, no, the black and white ones typically take me about 3 minutes to do. And he's like, oh, okay, blah, blah, blah. He talks with the significant other or whatever. And he's like, all right, we'll draw her. So I sit her down and draw her. And as I'm kind of positioning myself, getting ready to draw, he gets out his iPhone or whatever, and he says, I'm going to time you. So... So his significant other sits down. I start drawing. I get the drawing done, and then, you know, hand him the bag. And then after all that, I said, "So how long did it take me?" And he said, "A minute 46.3 seconds." So I did it. Not less than a minute, but under the 3 minutes I said it would take. So a minute 46. That's pretty good. So anyway. And then, you know, from the land of people who think my caricature prices of $5 and up are entirely too expensive, some dude came up to my stand and said, he's like, how much is it? And I'm like, oh, well, it's $5 for this, $10, blah, 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 blah. And then he says, what are you, Picasso? Oh, yes, I'm Picasso.
Because you can buy a Picasso original for as low as $5.
Yes.
What the fuck?
I'm sorry, you know, the
oh, my God.
The 4 years, you know, of fine art college education, you know, plus the 18 years of personal training before that, you know, all the money I owe on student loans and having to make a living and... I'm charging a measly $5 and you give me attitude like I'm some kind of stuck-up artist asshole.
Whatever,
you know,
Picasso.
For wanting to charge $5 for a drawing. So, yeah. there's another thing on here, but I think I'll save it for the next episode because we kind of got to wrap up and it'll probably take me a while to discuss this. It's more of a discussion topic than a quick jokey thingy.
Well, then
so,
we'll
yeah.
save it.
So, comments. Did you grab that comment sheet?
Yes. All comments right. go at the end of the show. Here is an old missed comment from Tom Tip Elliott on what episode?
The Muppet one, I believe.
Hi, Luke and Carrie. I finally listened to the Muppet special. Well done. I was lucky enough to be 5 years old when Sesame Street began and watched it from day one. Amazing how much was retained from seeing things once they originally aired, like Bake the Hall in The Candle of Her Brain to Break Tamanella's Spell in The Frog Prince, and the pun-filled Dog City episode of the Jim Henson Hour where the hero held a pink bow in the martial art of why I oughta.
Yes. Yeah, that Break the Ball in the... Yeah, Bake the Hall in the Candle of Her Brain was actually Break the Ball in the Handle of Her Cane. It was basically she was afflicted with spoonerisms, so when she talked, nobody could understand what she was saying.
Or maybe she did both. Here.
Yes. For comments on episode 57, Eat Poop, You Cat! Slightly D says, hey, Ukrainian Christmas is really a thing. To be pedantic, it's Eastern Orthodox Christmas, but the Ukrainians are more famous for it. The reason for the almost 2 week difference has to do with the Eastern Orthodox sticking with the original Julian calendar, about 300 years longer than the Roman Catholics. Of course, it's not really Ukrainian Christmas if you don't have 12 meatless dishes, apparently fish is a vegetable, or so says my mother-in-law, aka Baba. Would you like to, read this one? Poke at Alex.
Yeah, he's moving a lot now. Elizabeth says, FYI, Luke, I appreciate the blurbs you put on the website about the various podcasts. Some of us do read and appreciate them. Would have loved to see a sketch of that cake, but the one you guys had did sound awesome, too. What does she mean, a sketch of... Oh, the
rich green aw shucks cake.
Or maybe she meant a sketch of the one that we didn't do.
Yeah.
And Even though I went on our bad rapport on Facebook to beg for comments, we got...
We only got two comments.
Just the two, but thank you, Slightly D and Elizabeth.
We have two voice...
We also have two voice comments that I don't think I can...
The first is from Draconis, and the second, I think, is also from Draconis.
Okay.
So the first comment I'll edit in here. And it was basically him saying, how come we didn't do an episode talking about the recording of the Cirque du Soleil Stupid Cowboy Thing album weekend. And the reason we didn't do one is because I didn't want to give away any of the jokes for the album that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
So sometime after MarsCon, we'll talk more about it. Plus, the night before we recorded... we remember when we sat around the kitchen table and we were like laughing to ourselves, and I got out the Zen player. We recorded for about 10 minutes of you, me, Chris, Shoebox, and Kim just talking and being goofy.
I forgot about that.
I'm pretty sure I still have that audio, so we'll play that too, just for the hell of it.
Okay, so
it was us cracking up with each other over the whole staying fed, and we were just cracking each other up. So that will come in the future, in the near future. And then the second comment Draconis made was this. And he says it would be awesome if somebody dressed up as a Klingon Jedi for conventions. And I have seen that done before. So people have dressed up as Klingon Jedi.
Awesome.
Yeah. We had no new iTunes reviews. So that's comments for this episode. So.
That means it's time for show wrap.
Yes. On my outline, it says, remind people to make comments and leave messages. So you can make comments for this episode at badrapport.com, BADRAPPORT.com. And you can leave messages for us at 916-LUKESKI. That's 916-585-3754. And you can leave us iTunes reviews at our page at iTunes, and also leave us a star rating of hopefully 5 stars, but we can't force you to do that.
A star rating. Please leave us a star rating.
Okay. Carrie, do you have anything else to say about this episode?
I'm having a contraction.
Okay. It's don't. That's your contraction. As in, don't ask me to improvise things ever on this podcast, because I can't think of things for crap.
Beat, though. I'm pretty damn good at beating.
So anyway, final song of the show. What shall it be? You probably want me to play this song here.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about it?
We're gonna play a song called "Connecticut's For Fucking" by Jesus H. Christ and the Four Hornsmen of the Apocalypse.
All right. So that's a song. So until next time, I'm Luke.
And I'm Carrie.
And this has been
Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Huzzah!
Still pregnant.
Still working on MarsCon.
We live in the dullest state. Package stores all close at 8. Malls are full of optometrists. Restaurants we hate, swimming across Lake Quassapaug, stealing makeup, catching frogs, cutting our feet on broken bottles as we wade in the shiphog. It's true for humans, cows, and dogs. Connecticut's for fucking. That's all there is to do. I'd love to listen to classic rock and have sex with you. Shots at the mall, writing Ozzy on a wall. Watch the corn get tall, there's nothing else to do at all. Going where we always go, doing what we always do. Waiting to turn into the people we are bound to turn into. What else do other people do? Connecticut's for fucking. It's the nutmeg state. Can't afford to buy antiques, then we just copy you late. Connecticut's for fucking, and Massachusetts too. I wanna climb up the sleepy giant and have sex with you. we're waiting to turn into the people everyone here turns into. Connecticut's for fucking. There's nothing else to do. I wanna listen to classic rock and have sex with you.
Listen to classic rock and have sex with you.
The fact that Anchorage is overrun with tech-savvy crackheads doesn't seem to alarm anyone.
Put your hand here. You're not going to tell me you're going to stop. No, you felt that, right?
Yeah, I felt that. Yep.
I think he's got hiccups. He gets violent hiccups.
Do you want me to continue feeling your stomach? Or...
No.
All
right. You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Drop!
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.